Hi. How you doing?
We're here on the corner of Mission and 7th Street in downtown San Francisco. And I'm here with Jeff Mackler from the mobilization to free Mumia Abu-Jamal. It's the day after the latest decision on Mumia's appeal, and there's a demo going on in the street. Jeff Mackler, can you explain what the decision was yesterday and what implications it has for Mumia's case?
Well, it was a horrendous decision, the worst since Mumia's conviction in 1982. It was a decision that rejected all of the issues that we had put before the court. And it was a decision that does not bode well for Mumia Abu-Jamal in the U.S. criminal justice system, or I should say injustice system. Essentially, the court rejected our appeal on three issues. The first was, we argued that when the prosecutor gave his final summation remarks to the jury, he said, "And don't worry, if you find him guilty, he's going to have appeal after appeal anyway." That was a violation of a fundamental principle of presumption of innocence and reasonable doubt. He told the jury, without the interference of the judge who let it go, that it didn't matter if they had doubts. And the court rejected our appeal on that question. The second issue was a major question. The trial judge and the prosecution excluded 11 of 14 black jurors from Mumia's 1982 trial. That's a violation of the Supreme Court decision in the Batson case, Batson versus Kentucky. And that decision was just affirmed and reaffirmed 2 weeks ago by the Supreme Court of the United States. In Mumia's case, they just said it didn't apply. There was no discrimination, even though they took virtually every white that came before them. They dropped three, and they excluded virtually every black. So we lost on that, and we lost on the issue of fundamental racism during the trial itself, in the trial proceedings. So the decision was 2-1, and the judge who dissented on our side wrote a 41-page opinion saying that what happened was a legal atrocity, that even if one black juror was excluded because of race, that Mumia should get a new trial. So we are in the worst possible legal position possible, and we intend to reverse that by getting in the strongest possible position, by mobilizing people for the coming legal battles and to win Mumia's freedom. The lawyers intend to go before the same court and ask for what's called an en banc hearing. That is, instead of the three judges, they want the whole court, the whole federal U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit, to make the decision. And that's 11 judges. If we win on that, then we essentially get a rehearing on all the critical issues. If we lose there, we go to the U.S. Supreme Court. So we're still into years of legal proceedings. And as Mumia and our movement has always said, Mumia's life, his freedom, depends on our capacity to mobilize such a powerful social movement so as to make the price, the political price that the government and the courts have to pay, unpayable. Too high to pay in order to keep Mumia in jail. We're fighting for his freedom, and we think his freedom is in our hands. We have the best lawyers possible, we made the best arguments, but we have essentially a corrupt, racist judicial system. And you should know, by the way, in regard to that last statement, that everything I told you so far is just legalese. We had this constitutional issue and that constitutional issue.
Can I break in? It's another issue. It sounds like the court is only willing to hear whether it made egregious violations of process, but there's been questions of innocence from the beginning, and especially since an Arnold Beverly confession came. And what's keeping the courts, besides the politics of the whole thing, from looking at the real situation in the case? Is this man innocent or is this man guilty?
Well, the courts have literally held, the Supreme Court, that the innocence is no defense. So all the evidence of innocence that we've produced, volumes of evidence, witnesses that repudiated their testimony, photographs that show that the police falsified the crime scene, intimidation of witnesses. We have four eyewitnesses that saw the real killer flee the scene. All of that is considered irrelevant, either because it was not submitted in a so-called timely manner, or because innocence is no defense and we had an opportunity to previously present it, which we didn't, and so on. So essentially, we have a mountain of evidence that we wanted to present to a jury to demonstrate that Mumia is a victim of a racist police department that was indicted and convicted dozens of officers for falsifying. I'm talking about Philadelphia Police Department, was indicted by the Justice Department of the United States with the help of the FBI for corruption, falsifying evidence. They had to free people from Philadelphia jails who had been framed up. And Mumia was the leading critic of the Philadelphia Police Department. He was an award-winning journalist. He was never convicted of anything in his entire life. And they went after him. They said they were going to get him for his attacks on the police department. And this frame-up for the murder of Daniel Faulkner, a police officer, was the direct product of Mumia's political opposition as a journalist to racism on the part of the Philadelphia Police Department.
Okay, what are the next steps for the movement, and what's the bigger picture for, is this just Mumia, or, you know, is there sort of a unseemly subculture of political prisoners in this country?
Well, of course, Mumia is for the freedom of all political prisoners, and we are too. For on the legal front, we continue the battle, as I mentioned. On the political front, in 3 weeks in San Francisco, we have a mass demonstration. This is an instant demonstration on one day's notice. They're taking place across the country. They're in Philadelphia, New York, Chicago, Portland, Seattle, every city you can imagine. But we intend to build a stronger movement, broader, and make the price of this terrible injustice and this horrendous decision too high to pay on the part of the government. We're fighting for Mumia's freedom, and we're trying to build a social movement, like in the struggle against war and for civil rights and for trade union rights. We're trying to build a movement to make sure that our will becomes the reality.
Okay, thank you. Keep it up.
Immediately executing Mumia, which is what they wanted to do. And the court that decided yesterday said to the state of Pennsylvania, you fundamentally lied when you told the jury that if they were going to find Mumia, sentence Mumia to execution, as opposed to mitigating circumstances, they had to be unanimous in regard to every single mitigating circumstances. So the lower federal court threw that out. And the state of Pennsylvania immediately appealed, and they lost that appeal. And now the highest people in the country are in a tent somewhere trying to figure out what to do. Should they grant what this court ordered, that is a new jury trial where the jury will be restricted to either sentencing Mumia to execution by lethal injection or life imprisonment with no parole possible. So the officials in Pennsylvania, coached by every single institution in this country, are figuring out what to do. If they decide to have a new trial, complete trial, but the jury can't find innocence, then all of the evidence that proves that Mumia is innocent, all of the eyewitnesses, quote eyewitnesses who lied, will come forward and say it again, that they were intimidated to lie under penalty of going to prison by the corrupt Philadelphia Police Department. All of the people who saw, four of them, who saw the shooters run away, will for the first time ever speak before a jury. And that jury will not be able to find innocence because of the laws. Everything that you have heard in the newspaper about what happened yesterday has nothing to do with the truth. These bastards were litigating three so-called constitutional issues. The first, and nothing to do with the truth. The Supreme Court has ruled that innocence is no defense. But even if you submit absolute proof of innocence, it doesn't matter if it's not submitted in what they consider a timely manner. So let's take the first issue, the Batson issue. There's a Supreme Court ruling that is illegal in this country, except in Philadelphia, to have any black juror or any other racial minority excluded because of their color. And this reactionary court system, headed by Joseph McGill, who is the prosecutor, and Judge Sabo, excluded 11 out of 14 black jurors. The Supreme Court ruled in a very big case 2 weeks ago that that was illegal. And they gave the man convicted by that racist jury a new trial and took him out of death row. So what did the same court do with the same precedent in regard to Mumia Abu-Jamal? They said that the Batson issue didn't apply. And for the first time in the history of this country, they invented a new reason to keep Mumia in prison. They said that the defense had not submitted the racial composition of the entire jury pool of Philadelphia. And therefore, this jury pool could have been all white and there was no discrimination, all black, and it could have been no discrimination against blacks by eliminating 11 out of 14 if 90% of the jury was black. Well, that was a huge lie. They had never applied that standard in any court, in any decision, until Mumia's case. The next thing, during the trial itself, that same Joseph McGill said to the jury, when they were about to determine a sentence, look, if you free him, there's nothing we can do. He's going to walk. But if you find him guilty, if you find him guilty, you shouldn't worry about any doubts that you have, because he's going to have appeal after appeal after appeal. And Judge Sabo didn't intervene. Well, this judicial system of ours abrogated the fundamental principle of reasonable doubt and innocence until proven guilty. He told the jury that they didn't count. Well, the court upheld that today. Yesterday, they didn't give a damn about reasonable doubt, about the law. And finally, this trial was replete with racism. Not only exclusion of black jurors, but the famous judge who presided over it. They called him the hanging judge because he had sentenced more blacks to execution than any sitting judge in the United States. That judge, upon walking into the antechambers, from his antechambers into the courtroom, only in earshot of another judge and a court reporter, Terry Mara Carter, walked into court and said, "Yeah, and I'm going to help him fry the nigger." That's no racism in that case, not to mention a black woman who said she had to take her cat and feed it. And they threw her off the jury because she went home to feed her cat. But when a white juror said, "I got to go take a civil service test," they gave him a police escort back and forth. But the blacks were thrown off the jury. Mumia was not allowed to defend himself. Half of the time he was chained outside of earshot, didn't know what was happening in his own trial, because he insisted on representing himself. Until one white juror said to Judge Sabo, "He frightens me." And they asked the juror, "Well, why does he frighten you?" And she said, "Because of his hair." And after that, Mumia, who insisted on representing himself, hair notwithstanding, was thrown out of the courtroom and was not allowed to participate in his own defense. This reactionary court ignored all the evidence that we presented, hundreds of pages of briefs that prove his innocence, and they manufactured law that they haven't applied anywhere at any time. So what's happening now? The legal team, with Mumia's permission, they spoke to him yesterday in a legal conference, is going to ask that same court, who voted 2-1, to uphold the conviction and to throw out all of our appeals. That same system, we're going to ask the entire circuit, 11 judges, it's called an en banc hearing, to hear the case again. And the chances of that, legally speaking, are extremely unlikely. And if we lose that, we go to the U.S. Supreme Court. We're talking about years of litigation, and Mumia has been on death row for a majority of his own life. An innocent man, a victim of a racist brain-up system. Now, we've always said in the mobilization to free Mumia Abu-Jamal that the only way to free Mumia, yes, we need the best lawyers, yes, we need the best arguments, but we have to build a massive, powerful, united movement to make the price of Mumia's continued incarceration, not to mention murder. They may decide that they're going to still try to kill Mumia. We have to make the price of his continued incarceration or execution too high to pay. We have to make it so that there is no one left in this country who believes that this criminal justice system has any credibility whatsoever. That's why we're here today. This is a day after demonstration, and in approximately 3 weeks, we're going to have another one in Philadelphia and in San Francisco to protest this racist system, to re-energize the movement, and to make Mumia's freedom a top priority for every single person. I spoke to Mumia in prison on death row about a month and a half ago, and he said he understands that we can have no confidence in this criminal justice system. He has confidence in the mass movement. This is the only way we can bring all the troops home now and end this racist war against Iraq. This is the only way we can stop those bastards from giving tens of billions, hundreds of billions to the rich while poor people lose their houses, have their mortgages foreclosed, and have their jobs ruined and their lives in catastrophe. Every single inch of progress we have made in this country and everywhere on earth has been a product of our power exercised independently of any political party and mobilized in a united front manner to fight against the racist, sexist, classist aspects of American society and American capitalism. Free Mumia Abu-Jamal, let me hear it.
Free Mumia Abu-Jamal!
Free Mumia Abu-Jamal!
Free Mumia Abu-Jamal!
Thank you. Our next speaker is...